When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to a whole new series of Where to Go. I'm James Atkinson, Senior Brand Manager at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, Senior Editor at DK Eyewitness.
And it's a new series.
Hooray. Yeah. Welcome back, James.
Welcome back, Lucy, and welcome back, listener. But if you haven't listened to us before, welcome to Where to Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. So we are kicking off the series with a bang today, Lucy.
Yeah, it's going to be a great episode. We've got a great guest.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really, really excited. We've got an expert on the pod, mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, lots of our guests are experts in their own right, but... this one is particularly got his kind of niche right down, and is a brilliant writer, brilliant kind of historian, and a brilliant sort of talker about all things food, really.
Yes, exactly. So I hope listeners have eaten something, because you're going to leave this recording feeling incredibly hungry. So get some nibbles, yes, to see you through.
yeah, that might be maybe some tacos, yes. might be quite handy to order in as you're listening to this episode. But we are going to LA,
yeah.
So Los Angeles, and Los Angeles kind of having a bit of a moment at the minute. Have you ever been, Lucy?
To be honest, no. I went on a family holiday to California years ago. We did the classic sort of Chinese theatre Hollywood sign type experience. So. Really? No, I've just done the touristy thing, and I think we really did it in a day.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited that we're going to kind of probably get under the skin of the place. Have you been, James?
I haven't been, no. It's a place that's like kind of long fascinated me. As you know, I'm really into my music, and
sure.
LA is a bit of a cultural hub of that. But I'm really interested in the kind of multifaceted layer of it. And mm-hmm. I know you guys have been working on like local Los Angeles as well.
That's right. That comes out later this year. Yes.
That does come out later this year. And just hearing some of the first bits from that about like kind of the art scene in LA, food scene, which we'll talk about quite a bit later, and music and all these different things. I think there's a lot of, you know, you think of LA being home to a lot of Hollywood stars, of you know, being that kind of like Tinseltown stereotype, yeah, etc. But I think lots of people are moving there for loads of different reasons at the minute.
It's huge. Los Angeles is absolutely huge. So it's sort of a city, yeah, of different cultures, and that kind of, you know, sort of finds its way into every facet of the city. So I know, yeah, that I'm sure we're going to cover all of this.
yes, I'm pretty sure that we're going to cover this, because as we say, we are speaking to an LA expert today.
Yes, we're speaking to Javier Cabral, who is an author and editor for LA Taco, an award-winning media platform covering news, art, music and food in Los Angeles.
So a little bit about Javier. He created the acclaimed food blog Teenage Glutster at the young age of 16.
Incredible.
So he started food writing then. He's since written for the LA Times, Savour, Serious Seats, The Washington Post, Munchies, Vice UK, amongst many others.
Yeah, and he's also co-author of the cookbook Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico, and served as associate producer for the award-winning Netflix series Las Crónicas del Taco.
Yes, so without further ado, welcome Javier.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm really happy to be here.
Lovely to have you.
It's great to have you on the podcast. Javier, we're going to, as we normally kick things off in the podcast, we're going to find a bit more about you and then move on to exploring LA and the best things to do there. We'll finish off by hearing about the present day in the city and what it's been like in recent times.
So Javier, you were born and raised in LA. What has kept you there?
That's a great question. It's recently, I would say over the last 10 years, it seems like there's been a new spotlight in Los Angeles and, everyone has been moving here. A lot of people from the other side of the country are moving here. And I realized that there is a narrative that is actively constantly published and told about the LA that everyone loves to hate, right? This is like, LA is fake, right. Full of fake people, that LA is very artificial, that, LA is very, it's, you have to have a lot of money. You only come here to follow your dreams. But I'm here to say that, yes, that's one part of LA. That's the one that gets all the media attention, but there's a whole other side of Los Angeles that just is not in the media. And that's just full of hardworking, either working class families or immigrant families that really keep the city running. So my family are immigrants here, both my parents. And there came a time when, yes, I realized that, was I going to stay in my adult years here in my hometown, or was I going to try to move somewhere? And it dawned on me that, the reason why a lot of people move here is because they come from small towns. They come from places that are boring. In LA, it's the opposite of that. There is so much to do all the time. So I grew up, trying to take advantage of everything that my city has to offer. And because of my career choice, which is, journalist, a writer, a content creator, I try my best to show the rest of LA that no one knows about, the LA, the LA, East LA, east side of the river, all the communities on the north, east, south, west, in the marginalized communities, because there's lots of amazing food, there's lots of amazing profiles, stories, that someone needs to tell their story. And luckily for me, because I'm from here, I have access to that. I speak Spanish as well, so that allows me to get deeper knowledge. So for all those reasons, I realized, I got to stay here and defend my hometown.
Yeah. That's as good a reason as any, really. And I think, if you think about the cultural export of LA, it's huge, but it's not just people who move there, as you say, and follow the kind of, their dreams and stuff. It's a lot of the kind of the communities within LA. It's huge, there's from sort of punk rock to rap to various other things. Like, there's loads of musical movements that have come out of it, and increasingly you kind of talk about lots of the restaurant and food movements coming out of it too. So which part of LA do you kind of live in currently?
It's funny that you ask, you're asking me where I live now, because I just moved to Long Beach. Long Beach is the last standing public beach in LA. When I say that, I mean that it's still, there's actually a Cambodia town here. It has the large population of Cambodians out of Cambodia. We're right next to Compton. So it's a really, really diverse community and still hasn't really been gentrified. Like when you come to LA, a lot of people, they're like, oh, I'm going to go straight to Venice, to the boardwalk. I'm going to go straight to Santa Monica, and I'm going to go take photos by the ocean and the Ferris wheel. You know what? Again, that's one part of LA. But if you want to experience I hate to use the word authentic, but a more raw, a more bold, a more real LA beach, you come to Long Beach. Long Beach, is right next to the largest port in all of the country, which I'm sure a lot of you saw in the news that there was a lot of holdups recently, long lines of container ships that would come from Asia. So it's a really working class beach city. So I just moved here and I'm loving it so far, because again, a big reason why people move to LA is to be close to the water. If you're gonna live here, you want to have. And me being from, I've always lived in inland communities. I grew up every once in a while going to the beach, but the beach, I was never a surfer. Again, which is another stereotype in LA, right? I was never a surfer, and a lot of people aren't surfers, like, because a lot of people have, you know, they gotta work. They have, you know, you don't really have time to go surf. So now that I live closer to the beach, I'm starting to experience this now. But this is, I'm 33 now, so it took 33 years for me to see, oh wow, I live in a beach city, and this is why I pay so much money to live here.
That makes sense.
Javier, I'm going to ask you an impossible question. I mean, you've already hit on so much stuff, and we've talked about what's kept you in LA, but is there something in particular that you love about LA? What is it about LA that makes you tick, I suppose?
So in LA, you know, have y'all heard the term code switching? Code switching means when you have your personality that you have at work, and then you have your personality that you are with your friends. You have your person, you change your, the way you communicate and you approach life, based on the situation.
Yeah.
Yes.
In LA, my whole life, that's what I've done, you know, cause my professional life is to work as, you know, work in restaurant. I mean, work, writing about restaurants as a food writer, as a journalist for the last 17 years of my life. Which is a really, you know, it's a very professional, you know, fancy, very, sophisticated, writer, intellectual type.
Yeah.
But at night, I'm like a punk rocker, and I like to go out to shows, and I like to go, you know, try different foods. So I think, the reason why I love LA is, I try to not take for granted, all the communities that you have to experience, here, and the food without having to travel. Of course, it's never going to be the same as like, you travel to a country to try the certain food of a region that is represented here. But my mentor, you know, rest in peace, Jonathan Gold, he was the only food critic to win a Pulitzer Award, in the world. And he broke it down really best. It's like LA is a city where immigrants can cook like their true bold flavors without having to dumb it down or add less chili, less salt, less acid, because more likely than not, they're going to find people from their same small hometown who are going to find them and be able to support that. So there's a strong system of support, and you don't have to censor your flavors. You don't have to censor. So when you're going around, eating these foods, and you take that first bite of a taco or that first slurp of a noodle, it just hits you. It hits you right away. You're like, wow, you know, your eyes open up, and you know, that sense of food euphoria kicks in, and you're like, okay, I get why LA is awesome. You know, it's a proxy for a lot of different communities around the world. And recently this has been the case because I've actually been hired to be as a tour guide, from chefs in the UK or from chef from Canada or from chef from Asia. And they come, they're like, hey, I want to open up a taqueria, which is a word for a taco shop, in my city. I can't go to Mexico right now, but I can go to LA, and take me around. So now you're seeing places around the world that are opening up taco shops, not just Mexican inspiration, but also LA inspiration, which is really, really insane. You know, that this place that there's another place in the world that has that reputation that can actually inspire someone else across the world to open a restaurant inspired by not just Mexican tacos, but like, you know, LA style tacos.
I mean, that's really cool. And I mean, I guess it goes back to what you said about like LA being a port town, so many different people from around the world kind of coming there and meeting people from their own cultures, etc. And I think I really like the point about like not dumbing down or compromising or like changing recipes, that you can kind of get different styles there and so on, which is really, really cool. So, and speaking of food, we're going to obviously have to quiz you about some of the best things to do and mainly eat in LA. So we're going to do that next. All right, Javier, imagine we've just landed in LA and we want to start with like a kind of quick fire tour of the city. So we're going to throw a few kind of categories at you and you have to suggest just one thing to do. I know this might be really tricky, especially food wise. I'm anticipating that quite heavily. But yeah, if you're ready, let's go. So the first thing, just one thing that you have to see in LA.
If there's one thing you have to see in LA, I think it will definitely be like our power of tacos. We are a taco town. So, I know it's like, it's like one thing you have to taste or eat, but it's just such a cultural thing. We call it the taco life. So I would go to a, Taco Row in Boyle Heights. And you can just, there's a bunch of food trucks there and you can, you know, try many different styles in one stop. So if you had to only do one thing in LA, and me as a food writer, someone who lives to eat, I would do that.
Cool. I mean, is there any particular food truck that you have to go to, or is it just try them all?
If there's one truck, if you only have time for one truck, and if you are not allergic to shrimp or seafood or shellfish, I would go to Mariscos Jalisco. I call it MJ for short, and it's a crispy mm-hmm. shrimp taco made out of prawns, chopped up prawns, and on top of it, it has a really refreshing oregano tomato salsa with a buttery slice of avocado on top. You know, in LA, I call it, you know, it's a perpetual summer. It's always hot here, even during winter. So you take a bite and it's like crispy, it's custardy, it's seafoody. And with the avocado, it's cooling. And then you just have it with like, you know, a nice Mexican Coke, you know, and you just, it's an amazing experience. So if you had to do one thing in LA, go have a taco and go have it with a, you know, with your drink of choice, or, you know, if you drink beer, take your own beer too.
Awesome.
Perfect.
I mean, we're recording this around tea time here in the UK, and I can see Lucy's squirming at the mention of that taco.
Yeah, drooling into my mic. So then, Javier, the place that you would go to drink and the thing that you would drink, if that makes sense.
So a place to go drink. I love beer, and I think that there is a lot of really good breweries in LA to go drink some really good beer. So I would go to Torrance. It's a community in South LA that has made it really easy for brewers to open up breweries. So I would go to Smog City Brewing. I would go to Phantom Carriage. There's a cidery called Honest Abe. So you can do all those things if you love to drink. However, I understand 100% that a lot of people don't drink beer or cider. So if that's the case and you prefer wine, I would go to Vinda California. It's a natural wine being made in Pasadena. So Pasadena is it's in the San Gabriel Valley. And there's a winemaker there who, is minimal intervention wine, very easy to drink, no sulfites. So, and it's very, very refreshing. So you can go do that as well. That's called Vinda California. And if you had to go for a cocktail, I would probably go, if you drink whiskey, you have to go try, there's a place in Highland Park called Goldline, and they are a Japanese whiskey bar. It's opened by this independent music label called Stone's Throw Records. So the owner of Stone's Throw, as the story goes, as it's reported, the owner of Stone's Throw loves Japanese whiskey and just wanted to have a place to like have meetings with his friends. So it ended up he ended up opening up to the public. And I used to live by here in Highland Park. And so it's a really cool Japanese whiskey bar where you go there, you can order a highball, not too expensive. And it's just like they have like amazing DJs who just come drop like guest sets when you don't, it could be a really famous DJ on any given night, or it can be like an old jazz musician, or it can be, you know, Stone Throw is a really respected label for a lot of people who are into music. So that's a great place for a cocktail. Even in those three things, you can choose your own adventure, right? You can have your own, you know, you can go have some beer with your chums and you know, and just get really buzzed, and then go have some amazing Japanese food, because Torrance was actually the site of the old Toyota factory. So a lot of Japanese food ended up regional. So like, you know, handmade soba noodles, really good sushi, Japanese curry. So you can go have beers and Japanese food. You can go to Highland Park, have some whiskey and some tacos after. There's a bunch of tacos around there nearby. Or you can go to Pasadena and then go have some dumplings after, because that's in the San Gabriel Valley. So again, food and drink is really like my passion.
Follow that itinerary. That's that is incredible. Wow. I know we asked for just one thing, but that's like, wow, that's an amazing day. Thank you so much, Harry. And I'm really worried by the next question, because I don't think it's going to be an easy one for you, but the best sort of place and thing to eat. So I'm going to let you off if you you don't have to do just one thing for this because you are a food and drink writer. So a place or two that you love to, you know, one thing you kind of have to eat there.
Let's see. So I love dim sum a lot because there's a big regional Chinese population in LA. And there's one restaurant that I grew up going to for dim sum, you know, which are small dumplings served with tea. And for me, that's one of my favorite things. I don't eat brunch, but I do eat dim sum because, you know, it's around the same time. There's a place called Elite Restaurant in Monterey Park. Just spelled how it sounds, Elite Restaurant. And they do really high quality banquet style like dim sum. So, you know, shrimp dumplings with a translucent dumpling skin. They'll have like beef ribs that are steamed with a black pepper sauce. They'll have like little pastries that are filled with mango or something like that. So that's one of my favorite places in all of LA. And secondly, it's a biased answer, but you know, Gelaguetza is a Oaxacan restaurant opened in the heart of Koreatown, and they have amazing mezcal. Yeah. And they also have really good Oaxacan regional food. So they a tlayuda there or mole. With some mezcales, and they have live music. So Gelaguetza and Elite Restaurant are probably some of my two favorite places in all of LA. Awesome.
I could see our producer Julia's eyes rolling into the back of her head when you were saying that, because she was on cloud nine and incredibly hungry.
I mean, that's my job. If I don't make you hungry, I need to reassess my life, you know.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, you're doing
very,
a fantastic
very skilled
job.
Your job.
Yep,
yeah. Yep. So then, Javier, how about your recommend for a day activity or your favorite day activity in LA?
So, you know, LA has a bunch of different communities that are, you know, mini versions of their city, of their, you know, of their origin. So, for example, there is a little India in Artesia where they have a bunch of dosas and they have a bunch of, you know, regional curries, a bunch of Indian desserts. You can also go to Thai town in Hollywood and have a bunch of like Thai desserts and Thai Hollywood. So if you had to break down like a day trip, you can go conquer like one of these little places in one day. And if not that, then I personally love going to Tijuana. Have you all heard this before?
Sort of, but yeah, well, yeah.
So, yes and no. So, I've heard of it, but I can't tell you.
So this is for real advanced, high level travelers who like love to get the most out of their trip in LA. Mexico is only 2 hours away, 2.5 hours if there's traffic. If you leave at 7 a.m. Or 8 a.m., you can drive to Tijuana, park on the U.S. side, take your passport, walk in to Mexico, and I would go have some tacos and some coffee. And then, you know, some beer, because Tijuana is having a moment right now. There's natural wine there. There's lots of beautiful seafood. I think it's the best place for tacos in all of Mexico. You can do all those things and then get back in your car by nighttime, walk back into the U.S. because there's Uber in Mexico too. So you can Uber around. You can do your research for places, or you can just ask me. I would love to answer. And you get back into your car and you drive back in LA and you're home by midnight, and you just went to another country to experience something amazing.
And you had the best tacos in the whole of Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
And honestly, in the whole world, I think I love that. I actually take a lot of like people there myself. And there's a lot of shows, a lot of concerts. There's a lot of beer festivals. I love Tijuana so much, Baja California. Yeah. It's really easy to get across. It's the most highly trafficked border in the entire world, you know. So it's they've really worked really hard to make it really easy to walk in. People do it every single day of their lives.
Mm. Amazing. I mean, that's a real bonus as well. I didn't actually know you could just easily do that.
Yeah. If you're not driving, you can actually get there by Amtrak as well, by train. Which I've done as well, and that's really, really fun, you know, because you take, it's a surf, they call it the surf liner, so it's a train that passes by the entire Pacific Ocean. It's really beautiful. And then you stop in San Diego, which is the closest city into Mexico, and then you take a smaller train, and that one takes you off right to the border, so you don't even have to rent a car. You can just take the Amtrak. It's called the Surfliner. Stop in San Diego, take a smaller train, walk into Mexico, call an Uber. You know, you can even ask the Uber driver, like, where do you like for tacos? And then they'll take you around sometime. and then by the time, whenever you're tired or you're full, you just walk back into San Diego, and then you take the train back into LA. So that's my favorite.
Get back, go to bed.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do. And I do it as soon as I have a free day, I do it all the time.
Awesome. And finally on this section, you can choose like your favorite museum or gallery or kind of cultural thing to do as well.
Art is one of those things that I dedicated my life to food. So I don't really go to museums much. To be honest, you can go to the LA County Museum of Art, LACMA. If you wanted to go a little deeper into understanding like LA, so the birthplace of LA is actually in downtown LA. It's called La Plaza, and it's you can see LA's first the first home that was ever built in LA in the 1800s. When LA was still a part of Mexico. Don't forget that California was Mexico in the 1800s. So you see remnants of that, which is when you're driving or taking an Uber or biking or walking across all of LA, you can see, all the street names are almost, there's a lot of names in Spanish. That's for a reason because, for a long time, California was part of Mexico. So if you wanted to understand deeper California history, LA history, go to La Plaza and then go to a museum that is right there called La Plaza de Cultura y Artes. It's the place of culture and arts in Spanish, La Plaza de Cultura y Artes. They actually just opened a Mexican food museum where they go into the history of a lot of the foods that we take for granted: cacao, tomatoes, vanilla beans, spirulina, corn. These are all food items that are from the Americas, Mexico and parts of the US. Yeah. So if you love food culture and food history, I highly recommend going to La Plaza de Cultura y Artes, go into their Mexican food museum and learn about some of your favorite foods and seeing how they came from and how they traveled through the world via the spice routes back then.
That's a great answer.
That is a great answer. And we brought it back to food. Hooray! Which is why we're all here.
I do that. I'm very intense. Sorry, guys.
It's great. Fantastic. It's great.
We've covered a lot of ground already. Do you have any sort of like must-dos that listeners, other places, whether that's beaches or sites or cuisine types, anything that you sort of think are absolute musts for people visiting the city
that you haven't mentioned already? And don't worry if you have.
I think a lot of people don't know how LA has a really great hiking, really good walking routes up in the mountains. One of my favorite things to do whenever I just need to get away is take the highway number 2 all the way to it goes straight into the mountains, into the Angeles Crest Mountains. And there's a lot of pullouts that you can, park your car. There's trails. One of my favorite trails is called Switzer Falls, Switzer. It's about 45 minutes from the city. And you're in this beautiful, California landscape. It's a little bit of trees, a little bit of hot. It's just a beautiful mountain landscape. And it's about a 7 kilometer round trip, 10 kilometer round trip, trail. And you end up going to a waterfall. So if you had the time, I would definitely, and if you wanted to just decompress and take yourself out of the city for a little bit, I recommend just driving up the mountains and going to this trail, Switzer Falls. If you want a little more of a city environment in the mountains, I love Big Bear, California. That's about an hour and a half from LA. And it's a beautiful skiing resort, a lot of people that come to LA don't realize, because everyone knows about the beaches, but, the reality is that you can go to the beaches and into the snow whenever there is snow in one day. So I love Big Bear. I love going up to the Angeles Crest Highway and just, taking a picnic up there, taking some cider, some beer, some wine and some a nice Vietnamese sandwich or some tamales or just whatever sounds about a cheese board. Just go up hiking and just, whenever you get to the waterfall, just pull out your snacks and eat it. That's one of my favorite things, for sure.
So is it easy enough to kind of get out of LA to go to these places?
Yeah, for sure. The mountains is, I would say they're not a tourist a place that most tourists want to visit when they're in LA. Maybe they'll go to Griffith Park, which is, you know, our kind of central park in LA. It's like in the middle of LA, in the middle of Hollywood. You know, that's okay, but yeah. I don't, you know, it's not, it doesn't provide the full experience of like the richness of LA flora. And the natural environment. So I would definitely, you do have to rent a car though for this, because you have to drive up. But it's worth it even for just rent a car for 1 day or 2 days and just drive up, you know, up to two. And you can just Google like, you know, best hiking trails around LA. And you'll find there's lots of stuff, or you can use the All Trails hiking app. And, you know, there's some that are dog friendly too, if you have friends with dogs. And for me, I love it. I try to go as much as I can. When it snows, I cancel everything and I just go up, because I like to be in the snowy environment. It brings me peace. So, that's what I would definitely do. And that's something that most tourists don't think about doing. But when, you know, you go up there and you just smell like the clean air, the fresh air, and, you know, it's life affirming for sure.
And if you have a Vietnamese sandwich to boot, that's
that's my ritual. I go to this place called Ba Le, and they bake their own baguettes. They make their own mayonnaise, and they have like, you know, bit like they have their own French inspired Vietnamese cold meats. Like a lot of pates, a lot of cold cuts. A lot of salamis, that type of stuff. Or they have like more Asian barbecue pork, barbecue beef, with like crispy radishes and cucumber and a little bit of some spring rolls. So I love that stuff so much.
You're saying all the right things. Oh my God. Cool. All right. Well, we're going to move on now just to talk a little bit about like how LA's recent past, the present, and kind of the future of LA too. Made iconic by its Hollywood connections, Los Angeles is also jam-packed with must-see sites. Think world-renowned museums, top-notch restaurants, and scenic surfing spots. Make the most of your trip to the City of Angels with DKI Witness Top 10 Los Angeles. Planning is a breeze with our simple list of 10, covering the very best that Los Angeles has to offer and ensuring that you don't miss a thing. Find it in all good bookshops or via the link in our episode bio.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Javier, how has LA changed in recent times? You kind of talked about a little bit of showcasing the lesser known side of LA and showcasing the other side of that, like LA Dream, etc. But I feel like LA's got a real cultural moment kind of going on at the minute, and lots of people kind of moving there for the stereotypical reasons. So yeah, how has it been recently?
Good, you know, right now, LA is in a pivotal moment, in a crossroads, because, you know, you're seeing a lot of children of immigrants who immigrated to LA in the 60s, 70s, who are, you know, now growing up and they're having disposable incomes, or they have a career and they're opening up their own more exciting concepts. So it's a really exciting time because, you know, there's a lot of what's been really trendy, not trendy, but it's been a means of sustenance to get by is pop-ups. Yeah. Where you all are from, pop-ups. Yeah. There's a lot of pop-ups all over LA right now. And they're all by cooks and chefs who just got tired of working in a restaurant environment, working those long hours, you know, hurting their bodies. And, you know, they, after the pandemic and when so many restaurants closed, a lot of these chefs just, you know, quit, branched out, started doing their own pop-ups, you know, open up an Instagram account with a nice catchy name and just started doing crazy experimental food and bringing that food at a very low price point. So that's what's been happening right now. And that's kind of the most exciting part of LA right now is like all the pop-ups every single weekend you're driving by and you see like, you know, a new, some new grilling meats, some smoke. You see someone making pizza out of their car. You see someone making like noodles, like, you know, or there's even one guy who makes a handmade pasta like in the street.
In the street.
And it's amazing. Yeah. He worked at LA's best, like one of LA's best pasta restaurants called Bestia. And then he has a pop-up now called Estrano, Estrano. And it's like spots with crispy pig ears. It's like foie gras shumai, you know, dumplings. It's, you know, Chinese style dandan noodles with like a muhammara, like walnut dip. Crispy frog legs with like, you know, kind of prepared like Nashville, like hot chicken style. So it's just like bonkers gonzo food with like loud, like punk rock music in a dark alley somewhere. And it's just like, it's just this is the LA that we're living through right now. We're seeing all these chefs and, you know, doing their own exciting things. And, you know, more importantly, the customers, the clients, the people who want to taste these things and they're willing to wait in line and try this food. Mm. So if you love, again, it goes back to food. All roads go back to LA food scene.
And understandably so, though.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, because you mentioned that you're a bit of a punk rocker as well, and that by night, and I was guessing it almost aligns with a lot of like kind of DIY music scenes mm-hmm. and stuff. As I said, whether it's like punk or rap or anything, have kind of come out of LA. So thinking of like Black Flag and stuff like that onwards, and it doesn't feel like the kind of like a food revolution is going on in the same way right now.
Yeah, a lot of the times. They intermingle the two genres. There's a lot of punk, because there's a lot of you know, if you're a rocker, if you love like punk music, you know, fast music, you most often will find work in a kitchen. You know, it's a very fast paced lifestyle that goes with the philosophy of punk. You know, with the live fast, die young. You know, just, you know, live your life really excessively. So the pop up that I told you about, Estrano, he brings loudspeakers and he's playing really aggressive, loud, fast music and making like this really ornate, delicate, delicious pasta. So a lot in LA, it's a kind of place where both these cultures interact with each other and create magical things.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. Yeah. And when do you kind of find like is the best time to visit LA? Like, is there a particular time of year? You talked about the snow, for instance. I didn't realize that was an option.
Yeah, I would say, you know, LA is a city of perpetual summer. So it's always hot here. The true answer is that it's always a good time to visit. It's always a good time to visit because there's in summer you can go like, you know, paddle boarding, you can go just chill on the beach and drink some beer and just kind of live up like the, you know, like the full LA experience of just being hot, really, really hot, but still being like a coastal community. But my favorite time of the year is personally the fall and winter, late fall, maybe like around Halloween season. Because the biggest Day of the Dead festival in the U.S. is actually held at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Hollywood Forever Cemetery if I can go back and answer the question of like if you had to go to one place it wasn't a food answer, I would definitely say Hollywood Forever Cemetery. It's open to the public. It's a cemetery in the middle of Hollywood that has turned into a venue. You know, two of the Ramones are and two of the Ramones are buried there. One of the Cramps, Toto from the Wizard of Oz, is buried there. my mentor is buried there. It's like a very iconic LA you know, cemetery. And around the Halloween season and the month of October, they have the Day of the Dead festival where they just turned the entire venue into a celebration of death. In a very death positive way, you know, which is the way in Mexico. In Mexico, you don't dread it. It's a part of life, and you celebrate the person who have passed on, your family members, your loved ones. So it's a really extremely magical moment because it's like it's a little cold, so you see the fog roll in. That we have like artists from all around the Latin America who they hire to headline the show. There's like lots of alcohol, lots of amazing food, and it's just like you just. That for me is like the full definition of LA. All these people who come around from all over the county to come celebrate, you know, death in a positive way, and while eating and drinking and watching like good and partying over a cemetery. It's like that kind of culture you only experience out in Mexico, in Michoacán, you know, where Dia de Dead was originated, or in Oaxaca, you know, that's how you do it. But like in the US, that's a little weird, right? So, but not here. This is a place where, you know, and ironically enough, you know, they do use this, you know, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery for a lot of the different movie shoots. So if you wanted to feel that Hollywood, that feeling of being in Hollywood, but in a very real, non-artificial way, you go to Hollywood Forever. Mm. And it's a big plot of a green land in the green space in the city. And you can go visit your favorite Ramon, Joey Ramon or Didi Ramon.
Or Toto.
Yeah, or Toto, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds incredible and really, really cool to experience as well. I'd love to see that. Other kind of like, I'm guessing, is the city kind of feeling kind of back to normal now from after sort of COVID? And if so, are kind of like events back on, our music festivals, etc., food festivals still back on the agenda?
Yeah, as of the time of this recording, everything is coming back with a vengeance. Live music, people are out, bands are touring, people are throwing events. It's almost, if you live here, it's very overwhelming because, you know, there's a it's a really funny thing to say, but when you live in LA, there's always so many things happening, and sometimes you forget to take time for yourself. Because, you know, there's moments when, you know, you just want to stay home and not do nothing, but you have that, you know, what we call FOMO, it means fear of missing out, and just kind of is there, should I go? Should I not go? Should I go? Should I not go? So, right now everything is opening back up. I believe even the schools have, our school district was our public school district was the last one in the country to still need a mask for children. But you know, they just lifted that recently. You know, you don't need masks to go indoors anymore. So yeah, you definitely see, at least for the moment being, you know, before, if there's any other, variant around. But right now it's a great time to visit LA because there's just everything that you have been wanting to do before the pandemic, right now you can definitely do it. And maybe even in a better setting, because everyone is just bringing back their A game and doing everything they can to make up for it.
So all those pent up ideas, all those like recipes that they've been working on, and it's all coming out there. Yeah, well, what better excuse to go and visit LA? I'm sold.
For sure. Javier, I've just had the best time talking to you. Honestly, I'm totally sold on LA. Trust me, we will be coming and knocking at your door to please take us on a picnic. We want the Vietnamese sandwich.
I want the Vietnamese sandwich. So I want good. The tacos. Yeah. I want everything.
It's so good. And if anyone here, you know, if you come visit, you know, please feel free to send me a line, send me a DM or an email. I'm very easy to find on Instagram. Just Google my name, or I go by the Glutster, Theglutster, the root word being gluttony. You know, if not, follow LA Taco. LA Taco is the website that I am the editor in chief of. And every single week I release guides for how to experience LA, you know, best tacos, best noodles, best pizza, best sushi, best, you know, everything. So
that's the place to go to get your LA information. We will certainly be doing that, Javier. And it's been a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. So thank you so much. So huge thanks to Javier. He already mentioned it, if you want to kind of follow up on his different activities, you can find him on Instagram at the Glutster. And in our next episode, where are we going, Lucy?
We're actually going to Manchester, so much closer to home.
It's a little bit different. All about the contrast here, where to go.
Exactly.
Manchester, I mean, similarly, like a kind of city that's kind of steeped in history. Mm-hmm. Lots of people kind of think they sort of know it, or there's a stereotype to it. But I'm interested in getting seeing a bit of a different side to it. And we're doing that with our friend Dan Stables.
That's right. He's one of our sort of one of our writers at DK Witness and an all round top chap. So that will be a brilliant episode.
So make sure to tune in and to hear all about Manchester with Dan. And in the meantime, you can we'd love to hear sort of your feedback and thoughts on where to go, if you want to get in touch, just reach out to us at DK Eyewitness on social media. But yeah, for now, that's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And thank you so much. We shall see you very soon.
Where to Go was produced by the team at DK Eyewitness and the wonderful Julia Baker. It was presented by James Atkinson and Lucy Richards and mastered by Johnny Coddington at Bottle Rocket Recording. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness.
And don't forget to please like, rate, review and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Your support means so much to us.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.